Okay, we're going to move along and talk to Michelle Murphy from Social Justice Ireland, because there have been a couple of reports out, one by Social Justice Ireland looking at the state of play with poverty across the European Union. They produced a report themselves based on the statistics, which found poverty rates in older people across the EU is at 17%. That equates to about 16 million people. And the National Women's Council has also produced a report saying this, identifying a 35% gap in the pensions enjoyed by women and those enjoyed by men. But Michelle Murphy from Social Justice Ireland, thanks for joining us.
Good evening, Colin. Thank you.
The report that you did, firstly looking at, I suppose, the position of older people in Europe, I suppose not just older people, it also identified rates of child poverty as well. There's a government coming in. What did you find and what do you want done about it?
Yes, I suppose it's looking at social developments in the EU27 over the past year, and I suppose a couple of concerning trends, one of them being the increasing rates of poverty among older people across the EU since 2014, you know, at a time when populations are aging at an unprecedented rate. That should be really concerning for governments. In Ireland, we had one of the highest rates of increase in poverty and social exclusion among older people since 2021. So that would, you know, be the impact of the cost of living crisis on people on fixed incomes, and you've increased rates of deprivation there. When it comes to children, about a fifth of children in Europe are living in poverty, you know, and as a the bloc as a whole doesn't seem to be able to get to grips with, and nationally we have issues as well in terms of attaining our poverty targets and our child poverty targets. And so, you know, obviously the discussions earlier on have been centred around the programme for government negotiations, and I think it's really important in those negotiations that, you know, government, whoever is, you know, part of the government, looks at how we're going to address some of these substantial and very challenging and structural issues, but also how we're going to resource them. This was one of the things our report would have pointed out, and the Women's Council report on pensions today, was that pension gap. And obviously you've almost twice as many older women in poverty as men, and that's to do with the issue they're less likely to have, or the value of their occupational pension will be less. They've had to take time out of work. So how are we going to fund our pensions going forward, our social welfare system, at a time when, you know, at the moment we've about four people working for every older person? In 20 years, we'll only have two people working for every older person. So how are we going to fund things like home help hours, you know, like adaptations to homes, our pension system?
Do you have a view on that? On how that should be funded?
In terms of our, and we have sent this document to all the government parties in terms of the programme for government negotiations, to all parties and all individuals, looking at, well, for a start, look at resourcing. We'd be looking for an annual resourcing statement, you know, to set out to the Oireachtas how much resourcing is required to maintain existing levels of services, to develop new services and meet those changing demographic needs. And to do that, you're going to have to set a new tax target. Like, that's the reality, to raise the money to fund the things that we need in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And also look at something, the establishment of an expert social infrastructure and community planning forum, to look at those very things, like what kind of services are going to be required by children, people of working age, people with a disability, older people over the next 30 years. How are you going to design them? How are you going to pay for them? How do you then combine that with an income floor? And we would argue, and it's also one of the recommendations from the Women's Council's report on, you know, that welfare rates need to be benchmarked against average earnings and then indexed over time. But we haven't seen that. I mean, in the manifestos, both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael commit to, I think, a state pension of €250. But there's no mention of benchmarking, of indexation, or how we're going to pay for things in the next 10, 20, 30 years. And, you know, that should be concerning, because we do have substantial resources at our disposal that, you know, those windfall resources we should be targeting, obviously, at infrastructure. But we also need to plan. And, you know, ageing is a success story. We're living longer. That's a big success story for this country. But where is the planning in terms of paying for things as people age, paying for pensions? You know, you're more likely to acquire a disability as an older person, the services you might need. I mean, that those discussions, well, if they are happening, they certainly don't seem to be happening across the airways, okay, or they're not making the headlines. But that is something substantial that the next government is going to have to get to grips with. Plus, you know, and just one final point, Colin, you know, the cost of living and those sort of temporary one-off measures, they have had a substantial impact on older persons' households in terms they've cushioned those people over 65, in terms of poverty rates. But what the CSO has found is those poverty rates of older people would be double in this country of people over 65 without those. They will have tapered out by April and May of 2025. So what is the next government going to do when it's faced with this issue of a potential, a substantial jump in poverty rates among older people? How are they going to address that? Okay.
All right. Well, we have a member of the outgoing, one of the outgoing government parties here in the studio with us, Barry Ward. Do you want to give a stab at answering that?
Yeah, well, I agree with a lot of the issues Michelle has raised, and the planning is really, really important, which is why in the last budget, for example, 300 million euro was set aside to deal with exactly these kind of issues that are coming down the track. But Michelle raises the issue, for example, of the measures have been put in place, and they were put in place exactly, as you said, to cushion the effect of the cost of living and other inflationary pressures on people in a particular place. And that's exactly what the government did to react to the possibility of significant increases in poverty last year and the year before. And that will have to be done again if that's where we are. But the notion, for example, that all ills will be solved if we just index link everything, I don't think is necessarily true. I agree with the point she makes about planning. That's really important. Acknowledging the fact that there's a pension gap, that we are an ageing population, that, as she says, with age comes greater pressure on the health service, and the fact that there will be fewer people as a proportion of the population paying pensions, for example, as a working population. But the funny thing is that in 2020, Fine Gael was the only party talking, for example, about raising the pension age, and were absolutely pilloried by all the other parties in that regard. So the only party actually that has been talking about planning and being realistic.
So you got
and
your
pragmatic.
Fingers burnt now, and you're stopped
the
talking
fingers
sense.
Were well and truly burnt. They absolutely were. So the question is less about what are we going to put in place in terms of policies, and ask exactly what people think is a reasonable thing to do. Because when we have suggested ways to deal with that in the past, not just the parties, but the country, and including the media, have been very critical of Fine Gael's suggestions as to how do we plan that. But even if you look at the space that we've created within the budget over the last number of years, there has been a very responsible approach by Fine Gael. Pascal Donoghue has a record of doing that over a series of budgets and a series of governments. Right. And then in the most recent budget, the setting aside of a quarter of the money that was available to us for, I suppose, what you could call a rainy day fund, but more a plan for how we deal with future shocks.
Paul Lawless, those issues that have been raised by Michelle Murphy in terms of future planning, trying to, I suppose, make sure that older people and a greater number of older people are provided for, and provided for equally along gender lines. Does AIMTU have a plan for that?
Well, the points that Michelle raised were very well made. And, you know, indeed, after coming back off canvassing hundreds of people, I canvassed on so many people's doors, and many of those people elderly. And, you know, one of the biggest issues that I've experienced over the last number of weeks is the issue of crime. Crime is actually rising in Mayo and in other parts of the Ireland too. And the Garda numbers are falling. And in the last 2 years, Mayo received just one new Garda recruit in 2 years. And it's, I have never experienced a campaign like it where so many older people were afraid to open their doors. And I think if you can't feel safe at home and in your community, there's something, you know, fundamentally going wrong in society.
I
and I think it's really important that we address that.
It's one thing to be
point.
Afraid of crime. It's another thing, again, to be poor and afraid of crime. So on the poverty side of the equation there, are there particular issues you'd like to have seen addressed there? Or, I mean, were you, I suppose, in the lead up to the election focused on other issues?
Yeah, so like, for example, we want to see the ending of the means test for carers. We think it's, you know, it's unfair that in many cases women can stay at home, for example, look after children, disabled children in some cases, or their older elderly parents, for example, and they suffer significantly as a result of that. And I think it's time now that the state actually removes the means test for carers. And it's, you know, it's an incredible situation, really. I met one lady on the door just a week before the election. She has taken time off work to look after her elderly parents, parents who would otherwise be in state care, costing significant money to the taxpayer. And she cannot receive any benefit in relation to that because she's means tested off the back of her her husband's salary. And to make matters worse, she'll also be discriminated against as well because of her pension. So, for example, like we want to see an amendment made in relation to the auto-enrollment scheme. And I know that the National Women's Council did some report in relation to this that was released this week. But we really feel that this auto-enrollment scheme, while it's while we welcome some of it in its nature, we feel that it needs to be amended to ensure that that women in many cases, but also fathers who take time out of the workforce, should be compensated for that, because it's, you know, these people are doing tremendous value to the state, and okay.
Let me just put that back to Michelle Murphy. You heard from Barry Ward there before Paul Lawless, but the issue of auto-enrolment, it was one of those things that came up in terms of its impact on employers rather than the outcome for employees during the election. But for people who are in auto-enrolment schemes, it's good for them. But because, particularly for women at the time, they may have taken out of the workplace, the outcomes at the end are not equal.
Yes, and I suppose that's the, one of the findings from the Women's Council report, is that, you know, generally women tend to have the outcomes at the end, they've less coming out of the pension because they've had to take time out in terms of unpaid caring work. So, you know, the issue still isn't resolved, and auto enrollment isn't going to resolve the gender, the pension gap either. Like, it won't resolve that issue. And I suppose one of the findings of the Women's Council report is to do with actually implementing an adequate universal state pension, which, you know, we did substantial research in this in 2018 on, you know, recognising the contribution of all senior citizens. And we set out how you would pay for that, because if you are going to reform the system properly, and this, you know, you need to look at a universal, an adequate universal pension system and an adequate pension that will support older people.
I was going to ask you about that, because the state pension is incorporated into people's private pensions. They account for that when people are saving towards a pension. So if there's a particular payment of a universal pension, but the occupational part of the pension that comes additionally to that is still unequal, how is the gap closed by a better universal state pension?
Well, I suppose in terms of our research, and I haven't had time to look at the Women's Council report in detail in terms of their proposals, so I'll just speak to our one here, if that's appropriate.
Yeah, no, that's
in terms
fine.
Of our in terms of our report, it was first looking at coverage, because there's a substantial number of women at the moment who don't have coverage in terms of a full pension, just to deal with issues, you know, historical issues like the marriage bar. And also one of our proposals was basing it on residency as opposed to social insurance contributions, and setting that floor and ensuring that everyone, and if we, now, this research was 2018, so it has to be updated, obviously, in terms of costings, but it was setting it at the contributory rate. And over time, you would see full coverage, and you'd look at then standard rating the contributions to private pensions in order to, so that it's standard rated at the lower rate, to obviously offset some of the costs, because there is going to be a cost to this. But in terms of, just to go back to a couple of points that Barry made, in terms of, I suppose, benchmarking and indexation, the previous Committee on Social Protection made a recommendation on this. That committee produced a report on the indexation of welfare rates against wages. The Commission on Taxation and Welfare made a similar recommendation as well, because the reason we have found ourselves in a very challenging position in 2021, and the reason that we've really failed to, I suppose, come to grips with our poverty targets. And what our research shows is when you increase welfare rates adequately, you reduce poverty. But because we do not index our social welfare system either against inflation or against wages, it means you're left with these gaps. And then when you, you know, when you hit a very challenging situation like a cost of living crisis and people on fixed incomes and the value of that income falling, it means more and more people are pushed into poverty. So if you're really going to address poverty and improve welfare and well-being for all of the citizens, older citizens, children or people of working age, you need to index social welfare payments against average earnings. And then over time, you can set at what percentage that is going to be, and you will give certainty to the system, and you can plan for paying for it. And yes, you know, we acknowledge acknowledge that government did set aside money into funds, you know, to look at future costs. But we need to be really realistic, you know, and Barry did point out rightly that we need to, what do people want? What kind of services do they want? What sort of pension system do they want? But we need to be realistic about how that costs, how much that costs, and how the next government is going to pay for it. And no matter what way you look at it, or no matter what way you slice or dice this cake, what it does mean is an increase in the overall tax take. There is no getting away from that. And I think it should be a priority for the next government to set out how they are going to do that over time, okay, to know what to expect, and also how they're going to move away from a system where we're very reliant beyond corporate tax on PRSI, on income tax and on VAT, which are taxes, you know, that people are contributing to. When you're going to have less people in employment, what revenue sources are you going to have to fund things into the future?
Okay. Thanks very much, Michelle Murphy from Social Justice Ireland. Hugh O'Connell, the politics of all of this is difficult. It is unlikely for a government to come in and unveil a suite of higher taxes in order to pay for Scandinavian-style services.
Well, no. But I mean, I think Barry alluded to the difficulty of the politics on it when Fine Gael, you know, came a cropper on the pension age issue in the 2020 general election, and indeed did Fianna Fáil, and it was actually Sinn Féin's very attractive proposition of reverting the state retirement age to 65 that got it a lot of support, although obviously that, you know, wasn't able to get into government. You know, in fairness, the outgoing Social Protection Minister Heather Humphreys did get the auto enrolments over the line. It was a long time coming. I mean, I've been hearing about that for as long as I've been covering politics, which is a long time. But she got it through, and it will be introduced from next September. I mean, it was, I think, supposed to be introduced earlier in the lifetime of the government. But I mean, you know, it's now been kicked out into the lifetime of the next government. But it's there. It's embedded within the system. The legislation has passed. It's all set to go, I think. But I mean, both, I mean, we were talking about the manifestos and the overlap earlier. I mean, as I said, both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael committed to raising the pension, the weekly pension payment to €350. So, like, that's one thing on which they can agree.
Right.
But whether there's more substantive sort of changes, and whether, and I mean, like, if no doubting what the National Women's Council are saying in their report today, but actually the effect of auto enrolment on kind of exacerbating that gender gap will not become apparent for many years, I suspect. And there's very little political will, I think, to act on these kinds of issues, because we work in 5-year cycles politically. We work from election to election, and no government is going to want to upset pensioners of all people, because we've seen down through the years the difficulty that's created politically.